Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am excited to be with all of us to worship the Lord and to continue this amazing series on the names of God. Be rooted, know God by His names. You and I don't appreciate names because in our culture, it is not exactly very prominent or very clear that names have meanings. But when the Bible was written, names have meanings. Why is this important? Because God has revealed Himself to you and to me through His different names. There is no one name that can describe all the attributes of God. God is infinite. God is so amazing that God revealed Himself to us through His Word, through different names, progressively, so that you and I will keep growing in knowing Him. Let's look at what the Bible has to say. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 tells us, I desire the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. God wants us to know Him. What a great news that God wants us to know Him. And He has revealed Himself to you and to me through His names, through His words. I've learned that the more I know God, the more you and I know God, the more you and I will learn to trust Him. And the more you know Him personally, the more you will love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you will serve Him. You see, obedience, faithfulness to God is directly proportional to your understanding and knowledge of who God is. So the more we know Him, the more you will want to follow Him and obey Him. Today, we will focus on the second name of God mentioned in the Bible. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. Let's read. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord, notice in your Bible, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the word for Yahweh. The Lord God, God Elohim, made earth and heaven. What do you notice about the transition of names? Let me give you another verse, verse 7. Then the Lord, Yahweh, God, Elohim, formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living person. The transition is in chapter 2. Why? Because chapter 2 is the account of the creation of man. You see, the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, which oftentimes people translate it as Jehovah. Actually, it is not Jehovah. It is Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. This name, Yahweh, is the distinct proper names of God. The word Yahweh is never used to describe any pagan gods. It is the personal name of none other than God Himself. It occurs how many times? In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, 11 times. In the book of Genesis, 164 times. In the entire Old Testament, it's 6,823 times. The word Yahweh is the most prominent name of God used in the entire Old Testament. Why is that so? Today, I pray that you will understand the significance of the name of God, Yahweh, as described in the book of Genesis and Exodus and other parts of the Bible. This is not a complete exegesis. It is not a complete explanation of His name, but here are the basic ideas I like us to have. Number one, Yahweh focuses on God's personal being. God is a real person. He's personal. Not only personal, He is relational. He is love. He wants to be in relationship with His creation. God is not somebody who is so busy that when He created the earth, He gave some rules, He gave some spiritual laws, some physical laws, He gave some guidelines, and then, boom, He's gone. That's not the God taught in the Bible. God is personal, He's relational, and He wants to have a relationship with us. The second thing I want to highlight is about Yahweh. He's not just the creator. He's the supreme moral being. In other words, God is the standard of what is right and what is wrong. God is holy. He cares how you and I will live. And lastly, God is the promise keeper. He's the covenant keeper. He is faithful. When He says something, He's going to do it. Every word of God is true. And whatever He says, it's going to happen. Now, how do we see this? In Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 2, you will see the significance of God's personal involvement with His creation, especially people. The Lord, Yahweh, God, planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there He placed the man whom He had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In this verse alone, you will notice something about God. That God cares for us. He planted a garden, and that garden is beautiful. The Bible talks about the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. Notice, what's pleasing for the sight? What is good for food? Can you see God's amazing involvement, amazing provision? Yahweh means what? God is personal, He is relational, and above all, He loves us. He's involved in our lives. He cares for us. And more than that, the Bible mentions two trees. What are those two trees? Number one, the tree of life in the midst of the garden. Another one is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two names, two kinds of trees. What else can we learn about God? The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. You notice something? God is not only personal. He is not only relational. God gives man an assignment. This is where you and I learn the purpose of life, the meaning of life, because God is relational. He wanted Adam to understand his role, and the role is amazing. Cultivate it, to keep it. If you read the other parts of Genesis, we are to manage God's creation, to cultivate, to take care of it. You and I will not know the meaning of life, your purpose for living, until you are connected with our Creator. Many people today find their lives meaningless, no purpose. For some, they create their own purpose. You can invent your own purpose for living. But I submit to you, you will really not experience the full meaning of life until you are connected with your Maker. And God is our designer, our Maker, and He longs to have a relationship with us. The Lord God, notice Yahweh, commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat from it, you will surely die." Let me ask you a question. Why did God institute something that says you can eat any fruit from any tree? And you know what I'm thinking of? Chico, star apples, lanzones, atis, rambutan. God says you can eat all kinds of fruit from any tree except one. What is that one? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you asked yourself why? Many times, people don't understand why should God restrict Adam and Eve. This is where you begin to learn that God is the supreme being and is a moral being. My question to you is this. Why was it right for Adam to eat any fruit in the garden? And why is it wrong for Adam to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? What makes it right? What makes it wrong? Ah, you now understand. God alone, Yahweh, He is the owner. He is the creator. He has every right to tell us what we can do, what we cannot do. Not only that, God has every right to tell us what we can do, what we cannot do, because God created us, He designed us, and He knows what is good for you and what is good for me. The challenge is this. Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to believe that what He commands us to do is good, and what He commands us not to do is bad? It will harm us. God is a supreme moral being. He could have made us into robots. But no. The very nature of God, God is love. He created man in His image. So God gave man the capacity to make choices, the capacity to choose to follow God or not to follow God. And God could have made us into robots. But the moment we are robots, we cease to become human. So God, being a moral being, wanted man to assume responsibility. You know, this became very real in my life when I decided to marry my wife. Because the nature of love is you want response. You want free will. Can you imagine if I put a gun to my wife and say, you must marry me, and you must say yes to me? Is that love? No, that is not love. God wants us to respond to Him freely, to say, yes, I choose to follow you. And my friend, God is the supreme moral being. We are not just physical being. We are moral being. What about you? Have you made those choices that you will choose God willingly, lovingly? It is so crucial that you and I have good relationship with God. My question to you is this. How is your relationship with God? Do you spend time reading His Word? Do you spend time listening to Him? Do you talk to Him? You see, God is relational. He is love. He wants relationship. Yahweh, our God, longs for our love relationship with Him. I hope you have this desire to spend time, study His Word, spend time praying. Why? Without reading His Word, without spending time with Him, you will not know Him. And above all, the key to knowing Him is the right attitude. I've discovered the more I listen to God, the more I obey Him, the more I know Him. When God tells you something and then you don't do it, what makes you and I think that God will keep on revealing Himself to us? This is so crucial, knowing Yahweh, our God, as somebody who loves us and somebody we can relate to. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, God reveals to Moses in the most amazing way. The context is this. God tells Moses, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. Why? You will see the context of the verse that I'm going to read in a short while. This is the context. Yahweh said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. You will notice something. Yahweh, God, is revealing to Moses about his concern. What can we learn about our personal living God? God is saying, I have given heed to their cry. In other words, God hears our prayer. When you cry to God, God is saying, I know. I'm not deaf. I'm aware. And then the Bible tells us, I'm aware of their sufferings. You know, sometimes you may feel like you are all alone. You may feel like nobody really cares for you. But I want you to know, Yahweh, our God, is personal. He is loving. He cares. He wants to do something. Notice, he said, I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. This is the promise of God given hundreds of years ago to Abraham. Our God keeps his word. He remembers his promises. But more than that, look at his great plans for us. God's plan is to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up to a land that is spacious, a land flowing with milk and honey. That is God's design for his people. You see, God is not just personal, not just loving. Yahweh loves us. And above all, he wants you to know something about him. He is good. He is aware of our pain. Why? Because God is the supreme moral being. When you see the word morality, what enters your mind? What is right and what is wrong? God cares about us. What is right? What is wrong? Notice how God described himself in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel and say to them, the God Elohim of your father, of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God Elohim said to Moses, I am who I am. Wow! I am who I am. And he said, this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you. What does that mean? Let's continue reading. God Elohim, Father, said to Moses, this is what you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord Yahweh, the God, the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is the name for all generations to use, to call upon me. In Exodus chapter 3, God personally described his own name. So this word Yahweh is the very personal name of God. It is never used to describe pagan gods. It is never used in the plural sense, because Yahweh is the very name of God. The Hebrew words, I am, Haya, and the Lord, capital Y, capital H, capital W, capital H, Yahweh, are two forms coming from the same Hebrew verb, Yahweh. Yahweh means, I am who I am. The verb is, I will be. So you can translate it as, I cause it to be. It is describing God is our supreme being. You will notice in Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 5, God spoke further and said to Moses, I am the Lord, Yahweh. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they live as strangers. God is saying that that name was not fully explained to the patriarchs, to the early fathers. But God is saying, now I'm making it very clear to you. So Yahweh means He's the supreme being, He's the eternal one, He is self-existent, He is independent, not like you, not like me. We cannot live for long without oxygen, without food. But God is different. Yahweh is self-existent. He says, I am, I am. He does not need anything because He is self-existent. Let me give you an example of how that word Yahweh is used to connect with God. Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for the Lord Yahweh your God am holy. What do you notice? Yahweh wants us to be holy. You are to be holy. You shall be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. What does that mean? You see, many pagan gods, and you will see this in many religions, their God does not care how they live. As long as you perform the rituals, as long as you go to a particular place, for some people it's once a year, for some people it's once a week, but your God, their God, does not care how you live, but not Yahweh. Yahweh is a supreme moral being, and He cares how you and I should live. Notice He tells us, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Look at the context of this verse. Set apart. Live your life in such a way that it's pleasing to God. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. How you treat your father, how you treat your mother, is part of being holy. In other words, Yahweh, our God, cares how we treat each other, how we treat our parents. In fact, if you look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, tells us, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Notice, I am Yahweh, your God. And then if you read Exodus 20, verses 3 to 17, it now gives you the 10 commandments. The holiness of God is expressed in His commandments. Our God, Yahweh, our Creator, our Designer, our Maker, He knows what is best for us. And He made us. So He has every right to tell us what is right, what is wrong. You see, what makes something right? What makes something wrong? Is it culture? Is it majority decision? What makes adultery wrong? Why is it wrong to have same-sex marriage? Sometimes people ask us. It is not me telling you what's right, what's wrong. It's Yahweh. God knows what is best. And God wants what's best. Therefore, God tells you, I made you, I designed you, I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, your Creator, and I'm going to tell you what is right and what is wrong, because what is right is good for you, what is wrong is bad for you. My friends, let me ask you a question. How do you view the commandments of God? What comes into your mind when you read what God wants you to do, what God wants you to do? Do you find it very restrictive? Do you find God so controlling? Do you and I have a tendency to rebel against His rules? You see, the natural man, people who don't really know God, will find the Word of God restrictive, will find the Word of God too controlling. On the other hand, if you know God, you will discover that the Word of God, the commandments of God, are for our protection. It's for our good. Why? Because God is absolutely holy, and because He's holy, He wants you to be holy. Why? He cares. God cares how you and I live. May I ask you a question? How are you treating your wife? How are you treating your parents? How are you treating your children? How are you treating your workers? How do we relate to one another? Do we relate to one another with respect, with love? That is our Yahweh. He cares for us. He is the absolute moral being. By the way, if I use the word holy, what enters your mind? For most of us, we don't fully understand what is the meaning of the word holy. When it is used to describe God, it is describing God as distinctly above all of His creation. God is without equal. But then it also describes His attributes, His moral character. So the word holy means God is the sum of all moral excellence. He is absolutely pure. Not an iota of sin. Not a tinge of evil. The Bible tells us God is light. In Him, there is no darkness. Yahweh is completely pure, holy. The perfection of His character. He is perfectly perfect, if there is such a term. Unchanging, immutable. So when God says, I am who I am, you know what God is saying? For eternity past, eternity present, eternity future, I am. I don't change. I'm perfectly holy. And because God is perfect, He will not change. Because He does not need to change. And because God is perfect, He cannot change for the better. Because God is perfect, He cannot change for the worse. That means you can trust Yahweh completely. This is an amazing truth you need to learn about our God. He's not just our Creator. He's not just Almighty. He loves you. He wants to be a relationship. But not only that, He's the supreme moral being. He's perfectly holy. He's perfectly good. And you can trust Him completely. Stephen Charnock said, power is God's hand, omniscience His eye, eternity His duration, but holiness is His beauty. The holiness of God summarizes all of His amazing attributes. Exodus 34, verse 5 and 7. The Lord Yahweh descended into the cloud and stood there with Him as He called upon the name of the Lord Yahweh. Then Yahweh passed by in front of Him and proclaimed, the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh, compassionate, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in faithfulness and truth, who keeps faithfulness for thousands, who forgives wrongdoings and sin, yet He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. The very nature of God's holiness means what? The perfection of His character. Compassionate, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in faithfulness. But you know what? He added something. Not only is He forgiving, but He will judge sin. Because God is holy, He will judge sin. For you to understand the holiness of God, look at the cross. You will not fully understand the significance of the cross if you don't understand the holiness of God. The reason why Jesus had to suffer and die on the cross is because of the holiness of God. Sin has to be dealt with. Sin has to be judged. And the Bible tells us on the cross, Jesus suffered and died for your sins, for my sins. We fail to realize all the attributes of God. We pick and choose most of us like God to be loving. We like God to be forgiving. But God is holy. Notice, from the root word, wholeness. God is holy, complete. He wants what's best for us. And what's best for us, God will deal with sin. You see, the word holy does not mean He will not judge sin. As somebody once said, indifference to sin is a moral blemish. Let me repeat. Indifference to sin, indifference to evil, is a moral blemish. If a leader does not care for what is right and what is wrong, he is not a good leader. Can you imagine a country where rules are not followed, where it is okay to kill, where it is okay to steal, where it is okay to rape? What in the world will that place look like? Imagine a work environment. If you are in a company where your boss will tolerate stealing, lying, cheating, immorality, what kind of work environment will that be? My friend, I praise God. Yahweh is not only loving, personal, relational. He is the supreme moral being. He cares, and He will judge sin. Now you begin to understand the importance of knowing God, the importance of following His word. Notice Genesis 2, 16, 18. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. Notice, from any tree. God is very gracious. From any tree, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for the day you eat from it, you will surely die. I've come to a point in my life where I take His warning seriously, because God is faithful. What He says, He will do. I've come to a point where I realize God is good. I desire to obey Him. It is not always I feel like obeying. It is not always I like to do what He wants me to do. But deep in my heart, I have the conviction that God knows what is best, and what He wants me to do is for my best. And if I choose my own way, I bring harm to myself. Why? Because God is Yahweh. God makes the rules. God decides what is right, what is wrong. I'm sorry, you are not God, and I'm not God. What is the problem today? The problem today is this. Satan, the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, was more cunning than any animal of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God really said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Do you notice the strategy of Satan? He wants us to doubt God's word. Did God really say this? Next, the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die, for God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. What was Satan trying to do? Satan was trying to cast doubt, not only on God's word, but on the very character of God. And my friend, this is the anatomy of temptation. Satan will make you doubt God's word. Satan will make you doubt His character. Satan will let you believe that God is not after your best interest, that God is selfish. Satan will malign God's character. The Bible tells us, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit, ate, and she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. What do you notice? Instead of listening to God, the woman used her own judgment after being influenced by the lies of Satan. In her mind, she saw that the tree was good for food. She sincerely believed it was a delight to the eyes. She sincerely believed it was desirable to make one wise. She sincerely believed that if she will do these things, by not exaggerating, disobeying God, don't focus on disobeying God, just focus on doing what you like to do, in her mind, she'll be happier, she'll be better. You see, nobody disobeys God. Nobody commits sin with the idea of, I'm going to be miserable. I've never seen anyone do that. What is sin? When you disobey the will of God, when you disobey His word. And let me tell you, in all my life, I've not seen someone who will purposely disobey God, commit sin, with the idea of, you know what? I want to destroy my life. I want to destroy my family. I want to become miserable. Not one. Satan is an amazing liar. The Bible tells us, Jesus describes us, he is a liar. And he attacks your mind. Isn't it so uncanny? Isn't it so amazing that the Chinese character for the devil talks about Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Look at the Chinese word for the devil, mo kui, devil. You have covering, hiding, two trees in the garden. This is the word for whispering, whispering to a person. Isn't that uncanny? The devil is described as somebody in the garden whispering. What is the devil doing all the time? Whispering to your mind that God is not good. And isn't it surprising and uncanny that the word for covetousness, the word for covet, you have two trees, as mentioned in the book of Genesis, and you have the word for woman. Why not man? Why woman? It was Eve who took the fruit and ate. And what do you notice? God is always reaching out. The Bible tells us the Lord God walked in the garden. And then he looked for Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us, he said, where are you? And what was Adam and Eve doing? If you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible tells us they hid themselves. They were hiding in the trees. Not only were they hiding, they were ashamed. The Bible tells us in Genesis 3, verse 10, I was afraid. I was naked. I hid myself. You see, sin always has consequences. When we disobey God, the consequences are not good. In this case, you have fear. You have hiding. You have shame. One of the consequences of sin, you discover in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and 20. God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Until you return to the ground. The Bible says, you are dust, and to dust will you return. You see, the consequences of sin is not only shame. The consequence of sin, the earth was cursed. God makes no apology. Who cursed this world? God. Why? Because God is holy. God will judge sin. Because of the sin of Adam, the earth was cursed. You have thorns. You have thistles. I can add, that's why you have sickness. You have bacteria. You have virus. And then you have death. Friends, What I'm learning is this. Yahweh keeps His word. When He gives a warning, take it seriously. When He gives a promise, embrace it. Take hold of it. Because God will always keep His word. Because Yahweh is truth. God is the absolute moral being. When He promises something, He will do it. When He says something, He will do it. People often ask, why should a loving God allow suffering and pain? And my friend, here you have it from the very Word of God. He makes no apology. God is holy. God is love. God is righteous. But sin always has consequences. And the consequences of sin, believe it or not, is also redemptive. Because God allows pain. God allows hardship to wake us up, to let us think through, what in the world are we doing? You will notice the bad news does not end with bad news only. There's good news. Here's the hint. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, and the Lord Yahweh made garments of skin for Adam and his wife. Why was it not enough for Adam and Eve to put on leaves? The Bible tells us Adam and Eve, after they disobeyed God, they were ashamed. They put on fig leaves. They put on leaves. I call that the first Hawaiian fashion show. Why was that not enough? Why should God made garments of skin? Here is now the foreshadowing of the future provision of God. You see, fig leaves, it's human effort. It's man's work to solve a problem. It is never enough. Why? Look at what God did. Garments of skin. How will you have garments of skin? To have garments of skin means you have to kill an animal. And here you have a foreshadowing of blood. Why? Because the Bible wants us to see someday the only thing that will cover the sin of humanity is none other than the blood of Jesus. And here is the earliest indication of God's amazing plan of redemption. To understand the Bible, you have to see the big picture. God wants to have fellowship with us. God wants us to enjoy eternity with Him. You will notice about the implication of the shedding of blood as early as the book of Genesis chapter 3. The shedding of blood happened because of sin. And that's why in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible talks about the Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? Even before the world was made, God knew already what's going to happen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. Do you notice? A confirmation of what really happened. The Bible tells us you were not redeemed. Redemption was not made because of money, silver, or gold. Our redemption is so costly. Money cannot buy salvation. Good works cannot buy salvation. But the precious blood. Why is it precious? It's the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the precious blood of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the holy sacrifice, the blood of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, I want all of us to know that our God, Yahweh, is not just loving. He's personal. He wants a relationship with us. Do you know Him? Not only that, our God is the moral, is the absolute moral being. He tells us what's right and what's wrong. He knows what's right and what's wrong. And He wants you to be holy. And lastly, Do you realize that God is faithful? He keeps His promises. He keeps His word. Every warning is to be taken seriously. Every promise is to be embraced. You can trust God completely. Are there any promises that God has given you during this COVID-19 crisis? Do you know God has given us many promises? God gives us promise when it comes to your material needs. God gives you promises when it comes to your emotional needs. Are you aware of His promises? Are you studying the promises of God? How can you enjoy the promises of God if you don't know God, if you don't know His word? You will notice from Genesis to the book of Revelation, it has one theme, the theme of redemption. You will notice, example, in Genesis chapter 12, when God promised Abraham, what is the word used? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord Yahweh said, you see, God is making promises. God told Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. God told Abraham, you will have many children. God told Abraham, in your seed, all the nations will be blessed. These are the promises of God, except there's a problem. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, was 75 years old. And his wife was barren. Sarah was barren. She could not have a baby. She could not give birth. But what can you learn about Yahweh? When Yahweh makes a promise, it will happen. The Bible tells us, Abraham and Sarah were old. You know how old they were? Almost 100 years old, and Sarah 90 years old. Advanced in age. The Bible tells us Sarah was past childbearing. She could not have babies anymore. Not only could she not have babies, she was barren. Then the Bible tells us, God told Abraham, Abraham, don't worry. Next year, Sarah will have a child. And when Sarah heard the promise, she laughed. She said, how can I have a baby? I'm old. And then God said, I love this. Look at verse 14. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? You see, when Yahweh says something, He will do it. And do you know what? The promise of God was fulfilled in the seed of Abraham by the name of Jesus. And this is what happened. The Jews confronted Jesus. You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus was being confronted by religious leaders. How can you say you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. You see that word, I am? That's from the Greek word, ego, eimi, I am. The same expression used in Exodus chapter 3, I am who I am. The Jews understood this when Jesus said, I am. When the Jews heard this, they were so angry because that word, I am, is reserved for God and God alone. And Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. They pick up stones to throw at Him. Why? Why did they pick up stones? If you read further, you know why? Because they say, you are a man and you claim to be God. You see, God keeps His promises. God sent a Savior, a Messiah, by the name of Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. You see, Jesus is the great I am. My encouragement is this. Jeremiah 9, 23, 24. This is what the Lord, this is what Yahweh, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Every time you see those letters capitalized, it is Yahweh. Says, let no wise man boast of his wisdom, nor let a mighty man boast of his might, nor let a rich man boast of his riches, but let the one who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh, I am the Lord, who exercises mercy, justice, righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. You know, God wants us to know Him. Do you know the Lord? Do you really know Him? Do you want to know Him? My prayer is that you will be rooted in the knowledge of God, so that when the storms of life come, you will be able to stand. When temptation comes, when the lies of Satan will come, you will be able to stand firm, because you know the very character of God, that God is good. God is absolutely holy. He wants what's best for us. And when God says something, it is for our good. When God tells you not to do something because it is bad for us, do you have that conviction? Do you have that faith to believe Yahweh is holy? He is personal. He knows you and He wants you to know Him. He wants us to trust Him. And above all, He loves you. He wants an intimate relationship with us. You will notice that life is eventually about choices. It's a choice between following God, doing His will, and doing our own will. You see, sin is self-will against God's will. God's desire, Yahweh's desire, Yahweh, our God, wants us to experience His best, because God made us, God designed us, He is personal, He knows what is best for us, and He wants what's best for me and for you. Eventually, you have to make a choice. As somebody once said, at the end of your life, only two possibilities. One, thy will be done. Or, God tells you, your will be done. In my case, I choose to say, Lord, your will be done. Now you begin to understand why only God's people who choose to do His will are in heaven. They go to heaven. You know why? If you are rebellious against the will of God, if you feel God is very restrictive, if you feel like God is too authoritative and you rebel against Him, you don't want His will, why will you enjoy heaven? Because heaven is to be in the presence of a loving God. It is trusting Him. It is believing in Him. In my case, I've chosen to trust God. I've chosen to believe that God is good, that His will is what's best for me. And I do His will willingly, with joy, not reluctantly. Make a choice today. God is relational, He is personal, and He wants you to love Him. And you will never know what life can be if you don't follow Him. You will never know what you miss out if you don't follow Him. By following Him, you'll begin to experience what life can be. Because Yahweh, God, is not just the Creator. He's a personal, loving God. He cares for us. If that's your desire, to really come to know God, I'd like to give you an opportunity to pray with me. A prayer of asking Yahweh, asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I realize You are not just the Creator of the universe. You are a personal, loving God. You want us, You want me to have a relationship with You. So Jesus, today I surrender my will to Your will. I realize your will is the best for my life. I invite you to be my Lord and my Master. I accept your provisions of forgiveness. I accept your gift of eternal life. Come into my heart. Change my life. Help me to be rooted and grounded in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If this has been very meaningful to you, if you have been blessed, kindly click on the space provided below. We would love to chat with you. In a short while, we will have discussion questions. Before the discussion questions, we will have fast track. God bless you.
Good day, CCF family. I am Eric Tatanez. Welcome to another edition of Sunday Fast Track. We are on our series called Be Rooted, Know God by His Names. And we are here with our dear pastor, Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter, you mentioned in your message that God is a relational God and has given us this invitation to experience this love from Him. What is your encouragement to people who are listening right now, watch your message, and then they're saying, maybe, I see the point, but with my current situation, I can't enter into that relationship yet, and maybe next time. What can you say to them?
The problem with that answer is probably we are listening to the lies of Satan. Because what can be greater, what can be more joyful, what can be more life-changing than a real, intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe, with somebody who loves you, and with somebody who knows what's best for you, and above all, He really wants you to know Him.
So it's really a matter of responding to that invitation, regardless of the situation.
Yes, in other words, if you don't feel like it's the right time, these are the few possibilities. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're unworthy. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're not ready. Well, that's a lie. Mm-hmm. You will never be ready. Because the Bible says, today is the day mm-hmm. where God wants us to come to know Him. Mm-hmm. Today is always the day, mm-hmm. not tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. The other option is you don't want to let go mm-hmm. of your self-will. You want to insist on your ways. Well, the truth is this. God will not allow Himself to be known if your heart is not right. There's no way to know Him if the heart is not right.
Pastor Peter, how can you encourage people who may be deceived? You mentioned, people may be living in a lie, like they're blinded. So what's the first step that, a person can take to make sure that this life that I'm living right now is the right kind of life that I must live with God?
The best advice I can give is to humble ourselves before Him and pray an honest prayer, saying, Lord, I want you to examine my life. Be honest with Him. I say, Lord, reveal to me what is not right. And if you are honest with God, you humble yourself before God, you'll be amazed what God can do.
I love that humility, that, an honest approach to God. Pastor Peter, I want to ask this question. We heard that God is the supreme moral being. We understood that, we heard that, and I personally believe that. But what tips can you give to our church, to our CCFers, to maybe those who are watching for the first time, tips you can give to help them discern what is right and what is the will of God in their lives, especially now that, we are living in an age of relativism. What's right for you may not be right for me. What's right for me may not be right for you. So how can a person get to that point that we see the absolute truth of the supreme moral being that is God?
Very good question. There is no shortcut. God tells us we must study His Word. The Bible is God's revelation. The Bible is God's revealed will. Ignorance of the Bible means ignorance of who God is, ignorance of His will, ignorance of His plan. So to answer that question, no shortcut. Mm-hmm. Study God's Word. If you love God, you will love His Word. And the more you study His Word, the more you know Him. And the more you obey Him, the more He becomes real in your life.
Pastor Peter, so with that answer, we can also say that maybe the sufferings that we are experiencing right now, maybe a personal suffering, a problem that may be a circumstance that we are having in our lives could be a result of a wrong decision in life. And what can you tell the people, maybe those who are about to give up? You know, God is a relational God. He desires a relationship, an eternal, loving relationship with people. What can you tell people right now who may be in that situation, in the midst of pain, who can't decide, who can't accept that love from God?
If you understand God as revealed in the Bible, He allows pain to bring us closer to Him. But if you don't know God's heart and you believe the lies of Satan, you can interpret pain as God's punishment, as God not loving you, and then you turn away from Him. My advice is to allow every disappointment, all kinds of pain, to drive you closer to the Lord. Because God allows pain and suffering. In fact, He not only allows, many times He uses it to wake us up. Remember what C.S. Lewis said, pain is the megaphone of God to rouse a deaf world. God whispers in our pleasure, but He shouts in our pain. Meaning, when you are in trouble, is it possible that God wants you to be sensitive to His voice so you can hear and examine your life? Perhaps God is telling you, you know, you are headed in the wrong direction. That's why you are in pain. You see, pain can be redemptive. It's not punishment. Jesus took our punishment on the cross. So whatever pain we are having is God's way of speaking to us. So don't run away from Him. Run towards Him.
Speaking of running away, you know, a lot of people run away who are maybe who had too much religion. You see, maybe they were hurt by the very people who proclaim the truth, the very people who say that they love them, who preach love, but are the very same people who hurt other people. What can you say to the people in the church, people of faith? What can they do to win these people who are running away from God?
Well, number one, you have to realize many have really been turned off by religion, by hypocrisy. And that's why it is so crucial for us to be a model. We must live out what we preach. And by living out, we become authentic. And when you become authentic, you will have greater influence towards your friends. Many times people are influenced not by the words, it's by our action. So be patient. Live your life in such a way that it brings honor to God. And let God be the one to change the hearts of the people.
I like that. What you're saying really, Pastor Peter, is that you share the gospel, but let the Holy Spirit move in their lives. I love that, Pastor Peter. For my last question, Pastor Peter, you said in your message that God is a promise-keeping God. What is your encouragement now to those who are close, you know, to like the prom? Is it real? Is God real? Is He still are these things that I've heard. You know, I've heard this a long time ago. My whole life I've been waiting for God to answer my prayers. What encouragement can we give, especially now, you know, the lockdown has been like, or the quarantine has been extended. It's uncertain. People are asking, when will we open our establishments? So how can we encourage these people?
You must understand the divine principle. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder. You know, what that verse tells me is this. There are times that the rewards are not immediate, but there are no shortcuts. God wants us to trust Him. But sometimes trusting Him means waiting. So my encouragement is, the promises of God are not always immediate. But one thing I can tell you, you will never regret it. Look at the lives of different men, different women. Those who have followed God and those who have not followed God. I've been walking with the Lord for over 50 years. I think it's a long time, but not long enough. And I have no regrets. And I've seen many lives. I've seen many lives destroyed. Why? They stop trusting God. Once you stop trusting God, you begin to do it your way. And that is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Follow your own way.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Peter. It's encouraging to hear affirmations and, you know, encouraging words from God Himself through you, Pastor Peter. Thank you. We are glad to tell you that this message and all of our services for this matter are available all throughout the week, every hour, online. In fact, you can watch this very same message on demand via our CCF website, our CCF mobile app, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. Also, we encourage you to share this message to your family and friends wherever they may be all around the world. With that, we conclude our Sunday Fast Track this week. God bless you all. See you next week.
Here are some suggestions for your discussion questions. Number one, why is it important to know that God is personal and relational? What can you do to grow in your relationship with God? Number two, why is it important to follow God's design, God's moral laws, and not our self-will? And lastly, what does it mean when the Bible says God is holy and you are to be holy? You see, God says, I am holy, you are to be holy. Hope you have a good time discussing these questions with your family members and your D group members and your friends. See you again.
Thanks for watching. We would like to invite you to be a Christ-committed follower by being part of the movement as we honor God and obey His great commission. To find out if there's a CCF satellite near you, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/satellites. We also want to encourage you to join a small discipleship group where you can deepen your knowledge and love for Jesus and others. To sign up, log on to www.ccf.org.ph/discipleship group. All of CCF's video resources are available free of charge and are constantly being improved by our team. Would you consider supporting CCF through prayer and giving so more people can be blessed? You can give securely through our website at www.ccf.org.ph/give. For more videos like this, please subscribe to our channel. Thanks, and God bless.